So what are you doing? What are you doing to protect yourself? Because that's what I want to do. I want to do what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that there's a number of things that we need to do to survive what I think is going to be a very, very difficult period over the next 4 years. Liquidity is important. You want to have liquidity, meaning you don't want to have all your assets tied up in real estate or anything else that's very illiquid. You want to reduce your debt to the lowest level possible. Debt kills. That's why 1.6 million Americans went bankrupt over the last year or so. And so you want to get your debt down to zero if possible, which means you stop using credit cards, or if you do use them, only the extent you can pay them off every month. So zero debt is important, and take on no new debt. I would set up a strict budget, which I would cut the frills and the extras out of my lifestyle and start an aggressive savings program. The Japanese save 16 to 17% a year. We save between 0 and 1%. We save almost nothing. We need to start saving. I think reduce our real estate holdings to about 25% of our net worth, and because I do think the real estate bubble will burst and take down millions of overleveraged homeowners.
Is that the time to buy back in?
You've got to give it time. You've got to give it time. Once a bubble bursts, where is the bottom? Nobody knows. I would say you stay on the sidelines for a few years.
It's tempting, isn't it, to go back in?
Well, it really is, and you just don't want to go back in. There will be a time to buy real estate. There will be a time to buy real estate. What was it, when Sherman burned, was it Richmond or Atlanta, whatever, that would have been the time to go in and buy real estate, but it's not yet. It's not yet. Okay, so I would be real careful with real estate, and if you're going to hold real estate, the closer to fully paid you can do, the better. I would get out of the stock market 100%, with the exception of some gold stocks and maybe some defense or energy stocks, and I would get out of equity mutual funds. I think you need to monitor the financial condition of your bank, your S&L, your insurance company, we work with a service that can help us. They can help us, and we can give our people a free rating. So anybody that calls in for that newsletter, if they want to get a free rating on their bank or insurance company or whatever, they can do so. I think you want to be in a strong financial institution.
And what is strong? How do they categorize the strength of a bank? By a number or something?
Oh, yeah. They look at all kinds of FDIC numbers and so forth. And if your bank is rated an A or a B, you're okay. If it's a C+, maybe C minus, no, you might want to move to a little bit stronger institution. I think you want to watch that sort of thing very closely. That 800 number we gave before the break, 800-525-9556, you can call, and we can also help you get a rating there. I would develop a second source of income. I think you need to have a second source of income in case your primary source goes away. And that means for a lot of people, some kind of a home-based business I think would make a lot of sense. I've always wanted to have a couple, two or three sources of income in case the major one went south on me. I would position my portfolio assets as follows. I would have about 35% in gold and silver. Gold is up from its low about 3.5 to 4 years ago. It's up 72%. Silver's up about 111%. They're both in strong bull markets like the 1970s. I'd put roughly a third in gold and silver, probably two-thirds gold and one-third silver, coins. I would stick primarily with coins. I'd have about 15% in high-quality gold stocks. Gold stocks have done extremely well over the last few years, and if you go back and look at the 70s, gold stocks went up about 1,000%.
These are companies that pull out the gold, manufacture the gold, basically?
Exactly. Gold mining companies, and we're talking about common stocks or shares in those gold mining companies. Most of them have tripled or quadrupled in the last 3.5 years.
Would you stay away from these penny gold stocks? Because there are some companies out there that say, we're digging now, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, I'd be real careful with those. A friend of mine used to be in the exploration business, and he gave me a number that really scared me. He said, for every 1,200 companies that try to mine gold profitably, one ever ends up turning a profit.
Ah.
So those little bitty jobs, I think those little bitty stocks, I would be a little nervous about.
Oops, better sell mine tomorrow. No,
but
I'm
a few of them hanging around are okay, but not for the majority. The 15% in high quality gold stocks, I would put about 25% in short-term U.S. Treasury bills, short-term,
120 days.
Yeah, 120 days, 6 months, something like that, where as interest rates go up, and they will, you can continue to roll into higher and higher.
Let me ask you a question, and tell me if this is smart or not. You have a checking account. You got $20,000. Would you just put it in a non-bearing interest account in a checking account? Maybe you need the money, maybe you don't. Or would you put it in one of these short-term interest rate accounts, getting what, 1.5% maybe? I mean, big deal. So is that really a lot of money?
No, 1.5% is not much when you've got inflation, real-world inflation, which I believe is closer to 8 to 10%. The government will swear it's a lot less. But no, so 1.5% doesn't do very much for you. I guess I'd rather have 1.5% than nothing. Part of the answer to that question is the last 25%. And I have invested personally in foreign government bonds, like denominated in euros, denominated in British pounds, et cetera, et cetera. For example, I invested in some Norwegian kroners. It was a government bond, so denominated in Norwegian kroners. For one year paper, they were paying 6%, and that was when our interest rates were closer to 1%. And then because the dollar was so weak, so 6% in 1 year versus 1% over here. That's why people are switching out of dollars, by the way. But in 1 year, because of the drop in the U.S. dollar, the currency appreciated 40% against the dollar, so it made 46% in 1 year. Okay, I think that a diversification of about 25%, because I know people are getting killed, especially retirees, because they can't find enough income, they can't find interest, and the Fed has artificially suppressed interest rates for the last few years, and so people are getting killed. I think these foreign government bonds are as conservative as Treasury bills. We talk in our newsletter about how you can get hold of those, and so forth. They're as conservative as Treasury bills, and I think that's a good place to go with maybe a quarter of one's assets. So, in answer to your question about the bank, I guess I'd rather have it in something that earns 1.5% than nothing, but neither one of them are much fun.
Okay, and so what's the other 25%? What do we do with that money?
Okay, 25% short-term U.S. Treasury bills, 25% foreign-denominated short-term government bonds,
That's your 100%, right?
That's 100%. Now, you can pull somewhere out of there. If you want to have a few defense stocks, I do think defense stocks, they can drop with a dropping stock market. But on the other hand, because of the war, I think we're going to see defense stocks do pretty well, too.
Real quickly, with this portfolio, what's your average yearly rate of return? What do you think?
Well, the gold part has been going up for the last 3.5 years, about 20% a year. The silver part's been going up about 30% a year. Now we're talking about the last 3.5 years. And then the T-bills aren't going up at all. So you're just looking at interest. But you got to be conservative.
So you're at least not losing money.